down to that road. Cole was in that. Man stuck the hand.
There is some amendments to the agenda, Dave?
I would like to suggest that we strike several items. First, under myself, the Board of Assessment Review appointment. I'd like to defer that for another week or two. Under Mr. Jim Hicken, 1A, Georgetown Air Services lease amendment. We will leave the management agreement, but strike the lease amendment. And then under Michael Izzo, item 2, we are not ready at this point to make a recommendation. Angola Sanitary Sewer District temporary wastewater treatment disposal bid award. We'd like to strike that one. And
Mr. Rogers, are you okay? Lynn, are you okay with voting on the wind center, or you have difficulties with it?
Which one?
The wind center.
Wind's down.
You want to wait next week?
I mean, we certainly have seemed to have some issues again that have popped up this morning.
Number 3, under Mr. Izzo, Windstone Development temporary wastewater treatment. We need to hold off, defer action on. So those are the items to amend. We didn't have any last week.
Oh, we get that quicker, maybe.
Mr. President, I make a motion to approve the agenda for Sussex County Council for February the 5th, 2008, as amended and with items deleted and rescheduled.
Second.
We move to second that we approved agenda as amended. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. You have December 18th minutes in printed form, gentlemen. Any corrections or additions? Motion.
Make a motion to approve December 18th minutes.
Need a second?
Second.
Moved to second that we approve the minutes as printed. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed. Correspondence? Jim?
We've got a few items. First, a letter from the Food Bank of Delaware thanking council for a contribution to the Milford Food Bank that they will use for hunger relief programs in Sussex County. A letter from the Nature Conservancy Office in Arlington, Virginia, thanking council for partnering with it and the Sussex County Land Trust on the Burton Farm Conservation Easement Purchase. A letter from Delmarva Christian High School thanking council for a contribution to their capital and operational expenses. A letter from the Fenwick Island Beach Committee to the county EMS organization enclosing a check for $100 and thanking them for being there when they did their polar bear plunge.
Any other correspondence from any of the council? Being none, Dave?
Okay, the first item I have is discussion of the source water protection ordinance, and I have a copy of the of a letter that was recently sent. And just to give you a little history on the source water ordinance, where we stand, where we've been. On November 27th, the source water ordinance, as recommended by the Citizens Advisory Committee, was introduced by the county council. And then following that, on December 18th, a public hearing was held regarding the proposed ordinance. The council deferred action on the ordinance and left the record open until the land use plan plus report was received, and also until we received written comments from the city of Lewis. We have received the letter from the city of Lewis and their proposal, and we've also received the plus comments pertaining to the proposed land use plan regarding this ordinance. One of the certification issues raised by the state and I'll just quote from their letter, is that the county provide an acceptable ordinance that protects the resources as required in Delaware Code. We went and met with representatives from DENREC and the state planning office officials to go over what their concerns were regarding this ordinance. And we have, DENREC has requested two changes in particular to the proposed source water ordinance, which they have indicated as necessary for certification by the state of the land use plan. And just to summarize these two, first, the state is requesting that the county duplicate the impervious coverage requirements that are already in the proposed ordinance for excellent recharge areas, duplicate those requirements in the wellhead protection areas. And then second, if the county modifies the excellent recharge or wellhead area maps based on a request from a developer, for instance, then DENREC and the state geologist must approve the change. So those are the two changes that they are asking for. If you look at on page 5 of this ordinance, that was basically a doctored up ordinance reflecting what the state has asked that we do to change it. Just to go over the impervious surface requirements that again are already included in the committee's ordinance for excellent recharge areas. First, where impervious cover is 35% or less than a project, there would be no further requirements. Mr. Couts and he will explain in a minute, reviewed just a number of different developments, just pulled a sample of some developments. I think we looked at 6 yesterday, and none of those would be affected based on the calculation that that the developers reported to the PLUS committee. They were all under 35%. The second trigger for the regulation would be that if impervious cover is 35%, more than 35%, but less than 60%, then the applicant must prepare an environmental assessment report, and that indicates that would show that post-development recharge quantity will meet or exceed the existing recharge quantity, and then there would be possible mitigation if it doesn't. And then if the impervious surfaces exceed 60%, then there would be a requirement that structures shall be required to discharge roof drains into underground recharge systems or permeable surfaces that allow the discharges to infiltrate into the ground. So that's on page 5 of what I handed out. And then on page 8 is the proposed change, where if there is a proposed change in the map for wellhead and recharge boundary determinations, the state is asking that we obtain the concurrence of the state geologist and the program manager of the Division of Water Resources Source Water Assessment and Protection Program. These changes, as recommended by DENREC, have been circulated to the county staff, the county engineer, the planning and zoning director, the county attorney, Mr. Godwin, and others, as well as to the Citizens Advisory Committee that actually came forth with a recommendation for this ordinance. Mr. Couts has attempted to determine the effect of this proposed ordinance on some developments and proposed developments. He has looked at the possible impact on developments as well as commercial areas. And as I think he will explain, the impact on most housing developments will be minor. We expect it to be minor if there is any impact. But the greater impact most likely would be in commercial projects with large amounts of impervious surfaces. And with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Couts, who has some examples to explain. And he also has a copy of the map, that shows the excellent recharge and wellhead protection areas.
Thank you very much, Mr. Baker. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick. You know, if you explained it all, so you may put it in layman's terms.
Well, I hope that these examples will bring the ordinance to reality for you so you get an idea. The one caveat I want to make sure everybody understands, I'm no expert on water resources or anything like that. So I'm just trying to show you examples that have come through the PLUS process and where the impervious surface reaches some of the thresholds and to give you an example of how it might work. The reason I
Before you start.
Yes, sir.
If you can speak in layman's language best that you can, I want you to show me the differences between the excellent recharge area, which
okay.
they want that duplicated. That's what's in our ordinance.
Okay.
And they want that duplicated for the impervious coverage requirements. Show me the difference. Show me the two, and then show me the difference
areas
of the two.
That are the areas that would be involved, is that?
Yeah.
I guess,
he
yeah.
said wellhead protection okay. versus recharge.
To give you, and I realize you can't see it the scale that it is, but you can see the green areas.
Right.
Okay, the green areas are what are called excellent recharge areas.
Okay.
That's where the soils are good for recharge.
Soak it down. Okay.
Right. The wellhead protection areas are where there are public water supplies, not
okay.
private water supplies, not agricultural wells, but public water supplies for public daycare areas. Centers, hotels, everything in between.
Restaurants.
Those are the blue areas.
Okay.
Now, most of those areas you can't see because they're most of them are the 150-foot radius wellhead protection areas.
Which we have 100 feet in our ordinance now, right?
But they're modeled
yes.
in this on this map at 150 feet. At this scale, you can't hardly see them.
Right.
What you can see are the fairly large ones. Georgetown, for example, Lewis, Rehoboth, Seaford has several. Those are modeled wellhead protection areas, and they're modeled based on time of travel, five-year time of travel, and because of the soils, because of the geology, there is a possibility that a contaminant in that area could get to the well within 5 years.
But that's just in theory.
I think it's based on pretty good science. It's more than a theory.
And this
but,
is the
yeah,
map that the
that's,
state...
That's the idea, but that's the difference between the two of them. Yes, sir.
I got let's pick on Georgetown because it's
okay.
big and you can see it.
All right.
The dark blue, the light blue. Okay, and I guess that's two different colors, or is that around Georgetown?
One's green, that big one.
Where's the green? Right there, yeah.
That's blue.
This entire area is blue.
Okay, so so anything in that area is the wellhead protection or is it the recharge?
Wellhead protection. I'll show you my example.
You got something bigger?
A large wellhead protection area. In fact, two of them were large wellhead protection areas.
Okay.
Okay.
So basically, they want the same rules in the blue area as they want in the green area.
That's right.
That's the bottom line?
For impervious surfaces,
between
right.
Between the safe area and the edge of this.
Now, I noticed that there's no recharge area around that, around Georgetown.
That's correct.
So, okay. But the rules would be the same, basically, as what, whether the green's there or not, right?
That's correct.
You explain your presentation, the 5 year time of travel. Reading what City of Lewis desires to do, I don't want them to, I want them to get what they need, but not haunt them in the long run. If it's 5 year time of travel, if they need to expand their well or put a new well where their five wells are now, could that 5 year time of travel prohibit that from happening? If
let me go through the examples first to show you how it
right.
hits, and then maybe Doug Rambo can explain the 5 year time of travel. Like I said, I'm not an expert okay. on water and soil, so
Rick.
Yes, sir.
You want to hear it, huh?
Was this explained during the committee process that developed the ordinance?
I believe it was, yes.
Wayne Baker, Kevin Burdett, Rick Duncan, Ron Foreman, maybe.
I didn't meet with the committee at all the meetings, but that's my understanding, yes, sir, it was explained
the committee
in detail.
Spent hours studying this. Okay.
Yes, sir. That's my understanding.
Okay. Yep. Right. I see. Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Let me just run through this quick, give you some illustrations of examples. This case is on Route 20 at Deer Run. Again, I took all of these from PLUS applications because as part of the PLUS process, they're required to identify the amount of, estimate the amount of impervious surface. So it was a way to get that estimation very, very easily. The site is this large area. Right now, you'll recognize it as the Twin Cedars. There's two multiple family structures in the front there where it says C1. The proposal is to develop the commercial as office space and the GR as residential. And you can see this is a 150-foot wellhead protection area for the public water supply. I assume it's for the apartments that are there. Okay, this is from the application. The present use, they estimate the impervious surfaces in the C1 area, which you saw at the very front of the property, was 43%. The GR area in the back is undeveloped right now.
Okay.
So after the development, if it were approved, would estimate almost 60% of impervious surface in the C1 area and about 22% in the GR area to the rear. Get a little closer. This is the wellhead protection area. There's the well right there. That's the one building. This is the other building. And you can see that's how they determined the estimated impervious surface.
That's 150 feet there?
That's 150 feet.
Or actually,
feet.
It's radius, but it's really 300 feet across, right, is what you're saying?
It's twice a radius of 150, a diameter of 300. Yes, sir.
Okay.
After development,
is that parking lot?
Okay, this is where the residential would be. The wellhead protection area is still the same. They would have an office building here, parking, and an office building here. What that gets you is approximately that much of the wellhead protection area would be impervious surface. And I didn't calculate it, but it looks to me like it's about 30%, maybe even less. But that's of the wellhead protection area. The numbers that we looked at earlier were for the entirety of the site. But that's the amount of impervious surface in the entire site. But what's in question is how much of it is within the wellhead protection area. And in this case, it's a small wellhead protection area because it's only 150-foot radius, and there's only a small amount of the impervious surface within that. The rest of this is not impervious.
So in this particular example, there would not be an impact if this ordinance, as
less than 30%.
Recommended, was in effect, there would not be an impact on that proposal.
That's correct. Now, they might want to take some measures, but they wouldn't
they're
be required,
really required to.
Not be required to because they're less than 30, I estimate to be less than 35%. This is an example of a large wellhead protection area. This happens to be associated with the Rehoboth well system. This is Plantation Road, Warrington Road, and intersection with Route 24 Williams Highway. This is an undeveloped tract of land right now. This is a BB additional site here.
Right.
This particular site is proposed to be developed as 11 office medical office complex, and each site would have its own medical office, its own associated parking area and landscaping, etc. So you have the medical, and then you'd have the parking associated it. And this is a typical building lot on each of the individual lots. Okay, they estimated that the impervious surface after development would be 47%. So in this particular case, the requirement to have the study would kick in, and whatever that works out to be, whatever measures they might have to take to make sure that the water is at least equal to what is occurring now in a natural state.
They would have to do the geological thing with five-year travel and all that kind of stuff? Or being less than 60%, it won't have to do that. They would just have to do down, could be downspouts or whatever.
They'd have to find out, they'd have to take measures to make sure that the water is equal to what's there now as undeveloped, and take measures to make sure that the roof drains don't run off the site, but into the recharge area, that kind of measures are taken.
This first, does it have any impact on, I assume this is a recharge area also, on that particular, if you go back after this, the one to the right?
Oops, I'm getting carried away with my fingers here.
Help them out, sir.
There we go. Pushed too many buttons.
Yep.
Yes, this is a recharge area, so you have two large, these are modeled recharge areas.
Right.
This is a 150-foot recharge area. This is a modeled recharge area.
Okay, so, but would that particular site there have any impact? Would there be any requirements? You know, I mean, I guess
over here?
From the developer on that area over there?
No, each individual site would be modeled on its own as it's developed. This is for new development.
I understand. Yeah, because what's there is there.
Okay. So they're going to be responsible for anything that moves in 5 years. I mean, even if today there's nothing there in their well, but something crops up 4.5 years from now, they're going to be responsible for it, if it happens.
Not at that, unless it's over 60%.
Right? That's a different issue. I think the issue here is what measures do they need to take on their site in order to keep the water recharging into the ground when it rains. Okay, the whole idea here is to, as an undeveloped site, water goes onto the ground and into the well area. After development, the idea is to make sure that happens again to the same extent.
Right, same amount of water.
That's all they're required to do under this ordinance.
Fancy stormwater management deal.
Well, in one sense it is, but it's clean water, not oily water, and it's water from the surface of the building and natural rainwater.
Right.
That's essentially what they have to do, is make sure that the water is going in essentially at the same rate that it is now.
I think this five-year time of travel thing
is after 60%.
What it appears to speak to is that's a part of the process to determine the wellhead protection area. It says that the wellhead protection area shall be delineated through the use of an appropriate groundwater flow model to determine a minimum five-year time of travel of water moving through the aquifer to the well. So the five-year time of travel is part of the process of determining the boundaries of the wellhead protection area.
That's how they came up with that circle.
And what Rick's trying to show you here is that if the impervious cover is greater than 35% but less than 60, then the developer does an environmental assessment to show how the recharge capability of this tract of land can be brought back to where it's almost equal to what it was before. And they get credits for things like downspouting from gutters and that sort of thing. So efforts at mitigation are given credit. What it says there is that they will the purpose of this environmental study will be to show that it will meet or exceed the existing pre-development recharge quantity so that it doesn't affect the ability of the ground to let the water flow through to the underground aquifers.
This wellhead protection areas are a function of the permitted well. So that in this particular area, the well serves whatever business it is, and it's probably just for that business. And so it's a small well, small volume, small wellhead protection area. This is a municipal well. The well's right there.
Right.
And you can see it's not a direct radius. It's modeled based on the geology. And because of the size of the well, the amount of water that it's pumping on a daily basis, they have to model it. Okay? And so that's why it ends up being that large of an area.
Right.
The next example, go on here. Okay, this is Williams Highway again at Mount Joy Road and Oak Orchard. This is the brand new Royal Farms.
Yeah.
Notice the fancy lettering there that identifies.
It's like GelDot did. It got crown work.
This particular site, when I say the new Royal Farms on Williams Highway, you think, well, that's 100% impervious surface. Well, in this particular example, the parcel is large. The tidewater, I believe it's tidewater, wellhead protection area for their water supply system, again, is a large wellhead protection area, modeled wellhead protection area. But the actual site is only where they actually did the impervious surface construction is only in the front part of the property. So it ends up being only 1.7 acres out of the 9-acre site, which is about 18%. So in that particular case, the development is concentrated in the front part of the parcel, but the rest of this is essentially undeveloped. And so again, 18% is less than the 35%. They're not required to take any measures for wellhead protection. They all obviously have to do stormwater management and those kinds of things.
Right.
So those are the three examples that I came up with. And I don't know if it helps or hurts, but that's what I came up with. And if you have...
This Royal Farm example is to protect the future water supply for that well.
The whole idea of all of this is
What would trigger... My only question would be is 10 years down the road, because they have so much open space in the rear... What if so? If they come in with a building permit, a request for a building permit, is there something in our system that would trigger and say, wait a minute, this is a recharge area, you can't do anything back here?
If this were to pass as proposed, what they would do is the same kind of thing as they did in the front, except if the proposal were to make this 100% impervious surface, then they'd have to take the measures to allow the water to go back in the way it is now.
Okay, but so that
so they would have to take some measure.
Okay, as the future, we go into the future, there will be some thing triggering all this.
That's correct. Okay. The site plan would be reviewed, and one of the things that would be reviewed for is what measures are they taking.
We're not telling this Royal Farm company that they can never not develop the rear parcel. They have chosen at the present time to leave it vacant. In the future, they can develop that by taking some measures of capturing water.
It will be a design issue they'll have to address at the time they develop it.
Okay.
And again, it's almost all of this is going to be a matter of design issues and choices in how the property is laid out, not a choice of whether or not to do it. It's where do you put the infiltration pond and whether or not you need to have the connections of the downspouts.
So
and those
conservation
kinds
is certainly going to stick it out front so they make sure they don't expand the road, get it in the water.
I don't think anything would have been done differently on that particular site if this ordinance were in effect at the time.
Right.
Because, again, it's under 35%.
The coverage they have now.
Right. Now, if they come in with something else
for
the future and the rear, they'll have to deal with that.
Absolutely. If they hit that threshold of 35%, then everything triggers, right? For lack of better word.
If they're over 35%, yes.
That's when the trigger gets pulled.
So you're saying this Royal Farm is in compliance with this current ordinance right now?
Well, there is no ordinance right now.
But they would be in compliance with it. Just
because they're under 35%.
Basically, accidentally, they came in with this plan.
If they were coming in next year after this ordinance passed, because they're under the 35%, they wouldn't have to do anything different.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. With regard to this. Now, there may be something else that they have to do, but looking to my supporters back here, make sure I'm not saying the wrong thing here.
Well, nobody's jumped up yet.
Okay.
We looked at six examples. Rick picked the four plus projects from January, that went to the PLUS committee and looked at the impervious surface percentages, and they were all under 35%, 18, 24, one was 30, one was 25. And then we looked at a couple other developments. One was 19, there was one that was 32, which was a cluster, and we, you know, we thought it was a high-end cluster, but none of them would have been affected by this if they were within a wellhead protection area. So we do have several other issues that suggestions that have been made by the county attorney and staff as a result of the revision of the review. There's some of these are just housekeeping, minor corrections to be addressed. And then the suggestion was made to change the variance process, which is in this ordinance, from going to the Board of Adjustment to go to the County Council, because the Board of Adjustment, in talking with Lawrence, is not real up on this type of information also. So we felt that perhaps it would be better just to come to the County Council with the variances from this. Also, a suggestion was made to more clearly define when and how the ordinance would go into effect. And Mr. Griffin has advised that if you think that you may be in agreement with some of these changes, then we should consider a second public hearing, because what Denrick is suggesting is more restrictive, and it would make, you know, make sense to have another public hearing. The old public hearing is still open, although we have received the PLUS comments and we have received the letter from the city of Lewis. I mean, if you would like, you could close that hearing, and then we would go back and make some revisions to be introduced at next week or the week after. Were you in agreement, Mr. Griffin? Is that
the process that Mr. Baker is explaining would be, if you want to go forward with giving the public a chance to consider these changes that were proposed by Denrick, which were not on the table at the time of the first public hearing, and since they have a tendency to be more restrictive, I think a second public hearing would be necessary. And what we would do would be to come with another ordinance, reintroduce it, and hold a hearing on that, so that the more the version with the changes, including those suggested by Denrick, could be before you and the public before it's a decision is made about whether to adopt it.
So we'd have two. We'd have the option to go on either way.
That's why I brought it up for discussion, George. That's why I wanted to bring it on the table today, because I when all this came, this rewrite came from the state. Number one, I'm not sure that the council is going to accept it, and number two, I didn't want to advertise it, spend the money, and then get shot down. And number three, I guess, would be, do we, being a committee has worked on it before, do we want to send this back? So that's I think, really where we are.
What Rich just showed me didn't, you know, the more restrictive part.
And also consider that the timing was that we were supposed to get this done by December 31, which is impossible now, but
right.
This is a pie date.
That timetable shouldn't be completely abandoned.
Well, we can get it done, just put it back on the table.
I know you can't get it done within that timetable.
Absolutely we can. We can vote on the one that's in before us right now.
But we should be try to get it done as soon as possible.
I agree with you.
Because it's tied into our comp plan.
I think it'll go back to the committee. There's submitted changes that they're the ones brought this thing forth. I think they need to weigh in on it again.
Well, the changes, Dale, are what? I mean, just briefly, this a greater distance as opposed to a... I mean, what is the extent of these changes? I mean, they're not...
The main thing are the
rattle,
two...
Rattle off the changes again just so we get the...
The main two are what we discussed that Denrick has asked, that the county duplicate the impervious coverage requirements that is in the proposed ordinance for excellent recharge areas, have that also required in the wellhead protection areas. That's number one. And then number two is that if an applicant comes forth and asks and does a study and asks that we modify the excellent recharge or wellhead protection areas, and they provide geologist report that says, you know, it doesn't really need to be right here. If we agree that that is the case, then the state would have to approve it as well as the county. So those are the two main ones. The other ones were, first, there's some cleanup things. Then there was the possibility of changing the variance process so that instead of going to Board of Adjustment, if there is a variance from this, they would come to the county council.
I don't think these issues warrant going back to that committee and having them have to come back in and start meeting again, because
there was one more
hitting that level of
the committee suggested that there be a source water protection technical advisory committee, but the way they suggested that, it would be the existing 17 member TAC committee for planning and zoning plus one additional person appointed by each of you, which would make it 22.
They wouldn't get anything done.
And there was some thought that that would be too unwieldy, and if we're going to have a technical advisory committee just for source water, that it be a committee appointed by you and have nothing to do with planning and zoning.
All right, Mr. Phillips, you got any comments?
Yeah, I think that the ordinance as it was introduced and vetted by the council, developed by the committee through an exhaustive process, is a good ordinance. Good ordinance. It goes a long way. The thought that we're going to, you know, continue to drag this out, even though we've gone past the deadline, to me seems overreaching. I think we should close the public hearing and vote on what we have before us.
I think we ought to get it right.
We can always come back a year from now and tweak it. It's just you're overreaching here,
Mr. Dukes.
I guess, you know, the state wants to say in number two, if we modify the recharge area or wellhead maps, either one, then the state DENREC and state geologists must approve the change. Well, why not just let them pass state law and do what they want to do? And we're wasting our time to send something to Dover, said this is what the council recommends. They said, nope, you're not going to do it. So, you know, we're knocking heads. Just let them do it to begin with.
That relates to state law.
The maps are determined by them to start with, right. And they're just saying if you change these maps we send you, we want to be able to weigh in on it.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else, Mr. Dukes?
No, I would like to hear what the committee's got to say about it, but I'm only one.
Mr. Rogers?
Well, there's a lot of concerns across the board on this issue, from the municipalities that we all represent to special interests or whoever else is involved. The bottom line is DENREC came down here and wants to put all the different counties' names on this ordinance because they can't get it through the legislature. The other issue is that they've pretty bluntly told us at the very first meeting and the last time that they were here that you don't do what we want, we don't certify your plan, and we cut off your money. That's the bottom line. So voting on what we have before us really is fruitless because you've been told what's going to happen if you pass what you got before you. The corrections have to be made. The legal counsel's told you the way to approach that. There's some drastic changes. You need to go back and let the public get their involvement again. And with that timeline it takes to advertise, that will give the committee a chance to get together, weigh in on their things, give us a recommendation. You've got the time. So even though we have to advertise so many days, that gives everybody time to chime in. And I think to be fair to the concerns that the municipalities have, that anybody has out there, they can chime back in with the restrictions that DENREC wants to put on some people, and some people want more restrictions. So you bring it back to the public, and the timeline will still play out. As long as DENREC knows we're working on it, even though they had a December deadline on the present ordinance, you re-advertise and make the changes and drive on.
The re-advertising required would be 2 weeks. Then right. From the end of the advertising, there has to be an additional 15-day period.
Right.
So you get a month in there. So if you want to let the committee look at it in that
month. I certainly say it gives it time.
Let me synopsis of Mr. Rogers. You're saying write a new ordinance and then go through a public hearing process, but also let the committee meet one time also.
Well, they'll have time.
Okay. So, in other words,
but we have to have a new ordinance because DENREC said they're not going to certify the plan.
And we could take it out at the public hearing if we chose to.
But, you know, in my district, we have concerns. The municipality's got some very serious concerns. There's people that have concerns on the
five-year area that it could even cause nightmares for the municipalities. So seems to be more discussion here and educating ourselves, like Mr. Colwell said, we're not experts. So, and what legal counsel's advising, we're making drastic changes that maybe not drastic, but some changes that weren't in the original public hearing. And the way we do business here, public's our boss, and we take it back to them and let them get their input.
So is that a roundabout way of saying you'd like to send it back, write it?
You
let the committee,
let the committee
meet with it, make a recommendation, and keep moving. Is that the bottom line?
What he's saying is that the committee would, at this next hearing, the committee would make their views known, but they'd have like 5 weeks to do it.
They got time, because he has to make the changes.
I'll make that motion, Mr. Rogers. If you second that, we'll do those three things. We rewrite it, we have a public hearing, and we have the committees meet one more time.
That's the advice of legal counsel.
Right, and then we have everything in front of us one more time, and maybe we can get it right.
You want to close the old public hearing also?
We can. In that motion, I guess we could say I also close the...
Yeah, because that bill dies on the table, basically.
Unless it has to be a separate motion.
Second.
Okay. I don't think it needs to be. Jim says right. Okay. So move to second that we go ahead and, number one, rewrite the ordinance as requested by Demrick. Number two, we will go ahead and start advertising in a legal way. Number three, the report will go back to the committee for their suggestions. And I guess number four is that we'll close the public hearing on the original ordinance.
May I ask one thing?
Yes.
In addition to rewriting it in the manner requested by Denrek, I would ask that the motion allow the possibility that we can make any other housekeeping changes we need to.
Yes. As long as you highlight them so we know where they are.
Yeah, I'd make that part of my motion, yes.
I don't get
second.
Okay. Any questions, gentlemen? Mr. Cole.
No, it seems a very reasonable way to address this issue, yes.
Okay, Mr. Phillips?
I vote no. I believe that we could move forward with what we have. We'd do a lot of good, and we could always come back later to tweak it. I'm gonna vote no.
Okay. Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rodden?
We have no choice because our plan will be certified, and I don't want Mrs. Webb getting upset at her funding being cut off, so I say yes.
I don't really care what the state thinks personally, but I think the committee should look at it at least, and if they make a recommendation, you know, they got some people that are qualified to do some of this engineering stuff to look at, and... would like to hear their opinion because they've been through the process already. My vote is yes also. Motion passed.
Okay, thank you. The next item is the administrator's report, and
I don't know.
Back to the drawing.
Don't throw anything away. You want documentation.
Yep. Three items. First, the Sussex County Call Board Committee met on January 31st, and as per the attached press release, they approved a new dispatching procedure that will send the nearest ambulance on high-priority medical calls, regardless of fire district boundaries. And this will be implemented beginning February 15th. The nearest ambulance would be dispatched on high-priority echo medical calls, which includes those for cardiac arrest, choking, or non-breathing subjects. Our emergency service units responded to 21,265 calls last year. And we are the first county to do this, to implement this. On the morning of January 23rd, there were numerous motor vehicle accidents occurring as a result of icy roads. 262 calls were received at the County Dispatch Center that morning between 5 and 11 a.m. Fortunately, the accidents did not result in life-threatening injuries. We would like to congratulate the A-Shift, which was on call that morning, which includes Sussex County dispatchers Chris Moore, Steve Deary, Jason Boyce, and Charles Stevenson. They have been commended by the SUSCOM shift supervisor also for the outstanding job that they did that morning. And then Delaware Department of Transportation workshop on February 11th, attached as an announcement for a workshop to be held at the Cape and Lopen High School from 4 to 7 p.m. on Monday, February 11th, regarding the proposed Western Parkway project and options for the Five Points intersection. This will be an update on what has been accomplished since the previous workshop about a year ago.
It's a free lunch.
Thank you.
If you, Hal, you just have to hang loose for a little minute. Jim, you look at the public hearings. We're supposed to have one at 10:45 on Miller Creek. So if you'd like, we'll go ahead and do those until we stay halfway on time, at least with the public hearings on it anyway.
Okay, this is the time and place advertised for a public hearing regarding the assessment roll for the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District. There will be a brief explanation of what's involved, and after that, and any questions that council may have, we will open it up for public comment if anyone is here who has an interest in that matter.
Thank you. The Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District assessment roll has been completed and filed in the Sussex County Utility Division, located in the County Administrative Offices to the Circle, Georgetown. The assessment roll is a listing of properties in the utility billing office from which the sewer assessment fees are billed based on front footages.
Is there anyone here from the public who would like to be heard concerning the assessment roll for the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District? Let the record show that no one is present to and asking to speak regarding that matter. We will close the public hearing. Do you have a form of motion?
Yes. Be it moved that based on the recommendations of the county engineer and county finance director, and for the reasons stated during the public hearing, the Sussex County Council hereby adopts the assessment roll for the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District as presented on February 5th, 2008, for the period February 5th, 2008 to June 30th, 2008.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded that we approve the motion as read about assessment roll in Miller Creek. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers? Whoops. Yes. Mr. Rogers absent.
He'd vote yes if he was here.
Huh?
He'd vote yes if he was here.
Turn around so it looks like you're there. Go ahead, Susie. We got one at, or Jim, we have another one at 10:50, which we're still.
The hearing just completed had the effect of approving the assessment roll, which is the names of the people who would pay the assessment. The purpose of this hearing is to establish the annual assessment rates for the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District. We'll again have a brief presentation, after which we will give an opportunity for anyone who is here regarding that to come forward and speak.
Thank you. This is to set the assessment rates for the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District. The assessment rate includes the collection rate and the transmission rate. The assessment rate is to recover the construction cost of the project. All properties are required to pay the annual front foot assessment rate, which will be billed on the county's annual tax bill. We will do a supplemental prorated billing in February 2008. The service charge is $230 and was set by the 2008 budget. The rate are as follows. Collection is $6.09 per front foot. Transmission is 85 cents per front foot, bringing the total assessment rate to $6.94 per front foot. For an average lot size of 75 feet, this comes to $520.50. With a service charge of $230, the average annual bill is estimated will be $750.50. This is good news as the actual costs have come in lower than the estimated cost we have quoted, which was $820.50 per year for an average lot of 75 feet with a savings of $70. This is due to savings of the construction costs and better financing terms.
Just like to congratulate the engineering department and the finance department for their work on this, because this is another example that, as Sue noted, the annual cost that we quoted at referendum time was about $820 for this project versus $750. Plus, we have at the referendum time we planned on charging the connection fee of $1,559. For everyone who hooks up. That has been financed through the program, so the hookup will not require that fee now, plus the annual rate is lower. So they've done it. Engineering's done a good job, and the finance department's done a good job, and the economy helped us some too.
Is there anyone here from the public who wishes to be heard concerning an ordinance that would establish the annual assessment rates for this the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District? Let the record show that no one asked to be recognized. We'll close the public hearing. Do you have a form of motion?
Yes, I do. I have an ordinance. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council adopts an ordinance establishing the annual assessment rate for the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District as follows. For collection, assessment rate per front foot of $6.09, and for transmission and or treatment, an assessment rate per billable front foot of 85 cents. The annual assessment rate for collection and transmission shall become effective February 5th, 2008.
Make a motion we adopt the ordinance. Second, please.
Second.
Okay. Moved and seconded, we adopt the ordinance as read. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
Thank you.
And we'll keep on rolling.
The next public hearing, which was set for 11 o'clock, is in relation to the Dagsboro-Frankford Sanitary Sewer District regarding the Banks Plaza annexation. Mr. Ashman will make a brief presentation, after which we will give the public an opportunity to be heard regarding this proposed annexation.
I'm up here before you on December 18th, 2007 to request permission to prepare and post notices for Banks Plaza expansion of the Dagsboro-Frankford Sanitary Sewer District. The area includes the old Banks Hardware building outside of Frankford, located on this parcel here, the adjacent cemetery, and two parcels north of Frankford Avenue, which were contacted and asked to be included in this expansion. The old Banks Hardware building has undergone renovations to be a commercial complex consisting of approximately 13 units to be known as Banks Plaza. The total area to be annexed is 6.75 acres. The area is contiguous to the Dagsboro-Frankford Sanitary Sewer District. Request for annexation received on August 2006, but everything was not in place until December 12, 2007. Developers will be subject to total system connection charges of $73,055 based on July 1, 2007, June 30, 2008 rates. Thank you.
Questions of Mr. Ashman?
Good.
I don't think there is.
Is there anyone here from the public who would like to be heard about this proposal to expand the Dagsboro-Frankford Sanitary Sewer District to include the area of land shown on the map in bright yellow, primarily the Banks Plaza annexation? Let the record show that no one asked to be recognized from the public. We'll close the public hearing.
Okay.
If you have a question, Mr. Phillips?
Yeah, I've got a letter from the town of Dagsboro, the mayor, regarding sewer and in and around Dagsboro, basically questioning what effect our providing county sewer to these properties would have on the ability of the town to annex property into their city limits.
This proposal's for Frankford, isn't it?
Understood, but that's what the issue was.
Okay.
That's actually on next week.
Would you like that letter to become part of the record?
For next week.
Okay. You have a form of motion.
If you'd like to read,
pardon me.
You have a resolution if you want to read the title.
Okay. We're going to close the public hearing on this matter. The proposed resolution is a resolution to extend the boundary of the Dagsboro-Frankford Sanitary Sewer District to include those certain lots, pieces, or parcels of land situated east of Route 113, north and south of Frankford Avenue, located in Dagsboro 100, Sussex County, Delaware. And it basically would be the area depicted on the map. It would be annexed into the Sanitary Sewer District.
Motion, gentlemen.
I move.
Second. We move to second that we
approve the ordinance as read. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes has a conflict. And Mr. Rogers?
Yes. One correction. It's not an ordinance. It's a resolution.
Resolution. I'm sorry. Thank you. You voted yes, Mr. Rodden?
Yes, sir.
My vote is yes also. Okay. It's now 11:15. Are you got anything else done? Are you supposed to be at 11:15 too?
I'm the 11:15 as well.
Why don't you just pop right down because it's not 11:15 yet. Hal, you're back in. Okay. We won't break the rules no more than we normally do.
Mr. President, members of council, this morning we have one request before you for a disbursement from your annual municipal police grant fund. The city of Georgetown would like to request full draw of their portion, which is $25,000 today, and they have submitted receipts to us for that amount for payments of lease payments on their police vehicles. So I will form it into a motion. Be it moved that Sussex County Council hereby approve a full disbursement of $25,000 of the annual police grant fund to the city of Georgetown for the purpose of lease payments on police vehicles.
Motion, John?
Second.
We moved to second. Do we approve the grant request as stated by Hal? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Jim? If you hustle, we got to meet. Hey, Geddes, get you in and out here. Morris, you might take a beating on this one.
Good morning. I guess I'm down to one item this morning, but actually both the items came from the same place. That was a council meeting last year, if you remember, when Mr. Baker proposed Garrett Dernoga's purchase of Georgetown Air Services. At the time, there was some discussion about the five leases that Georgetown Air Services had, and we made a promise that we would go through the leases and try to clean them up a little bit. Mr. Dernoga had asked if maybe we could consolidate the five leases somehow. Since then, we've gone through a top-to-bottom review of the leases, and having a consolidated lease didn't work out to be a workable solution. But there are some changes in the leases and some other things that we've come up with. In the next few weeks, we'll be bringing you some lease amendments to cover. The item this morning has to do with the management of our tie-down spots at the airport. A tie-down spot is basically that. It's a place in the ground you tie your airplane to so it doesn't blow away. Going through the original lease with the Patrick Family Foundation for the FBO, which is about 10 years old now, and we're in our third generation of owners of that business. We leased them a certain parcel of land at the airport and allowed them to do certain things. One of them, we gave them the right to collect a nominal set fee for tie downs, and then as additional rent, they were supposed to give us 10% of those tie-down fees. Well, over the last 10 years, that managing those tie-downs on that parcel has turned into managing all of the tie-downs at the airport and giving us 10% of that, which is not wasn't the intention. We have 29 tie-down spots. 19 are paved, 10 are on the grass, and then there's an additional 9 that are actually on the taxi lane that leads back to our corporate hangars. They're not in the way right now, but eventually they may be, and we may lose those, but they're usable right now. It's in the county's best interest to allow Georgetown Air Services to manage that whole process for us. It keeps us out of having to send a bill to 39 people every month and managing 39 leases, et cetera, et cetera. And then being there the number of hours a day that you really need to be there to manage all that. And do that. And that's actually what Georgetown Air Services have been doing for us all along. You know, they're the experts on the ground there as far as parking airplanes, making sure people are parking airplanes safely and in the right places. So the terms of this agreement, which you have in front of you, by the way, it's a one-year agreement. Either party can cancel it with 30 days notice in exchange for them managing those spots for us. They will pay us $500 a month. Under the old system, for a one-year period, we had collected $935 for the year. Under this system, you know, it'll be $6,000 a year.
Flat fee.
The flat fee. That gives them the opportunity to go out and manage the way they need to be efficient, gives them a chance to, you know, be creative. And
they can charge what they want.
They have to charge, just like we would, fair and reasonable fees.
They set the fees.
They set the fees. But again, they have to be fair and reasonable.
Whatever that means.
Yep.
It also gives them the ability to use vacant spots for overnight parking of aircraft and, you know, on busy days when, you know, somebody's gone from their tie-down spot, be able to use that spot to park aircraft. And that's been a problem.
Can they add additional spots on this agreement?
No, they can't.
We're still stuck with the same number of
tie-downs. Stuck with the same ones. And there's a diagram in the agreement there that shows you where those spots are. And then the last real term is they have to maintain insurance for what they're doing out there for us, but it's the same insurance that's in their FBO lease, so they're covered in that way. So it's not really a new insurance requirement. The bottom line is that they're going to continue doing what they've done for the last 10 years. This just gives us a more positive cash flow, and it's in writing now what they're doing instead of, you know, being fuzzy with the lease.
Garrett okay with this? I guess he is.
Garrett's already signed it. I would have made copies of that, but happened late this morning. And Garrett is here.
Well, he was here. I think he had 5 weeks. We wasted so much time this morning with everything. He had split, I think. Oh, there he is. He fine. I thought, he came back. I thought you threw in the towel.
Moving around. But if you have questions for him, he's here.
Mm-hmm. No, that's cool.
I have a motion.
Please.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council authorize the county administrator to execute the tie-down management agreement with Georgetown Air Services as presented by Jim Hicken, Director of Airport and Industrial Park Operations, on 5 February 2008, contingent on the county finance director's approval of the final document.
Motion, gentlemen.
Second.
Who seconded? We approve the lease agreement as stated. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed. Thanks, Jim.
I also left with you a copy of our minimum standards document, which explains how new businesses get approved by council to operate at the airport.
We'll put this on top of the list. Read up, man.
That'll come up in the next few weeks or
that's
so.
Correct. I realize that. Thanks, Jim. We're back to our gym again. It's 11:15.
This is a public hearing on the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District for the purpose of considering the Byard, what's referred to as the Byard annexation. Mr. Ashman, the engineering department, will make a presentation. After that, we'll give any member of the public here who is here and wants to speak an opportunity to be heard.
Good morning. I appeared before you on December 18th, 2007 to request permission to prepare and post notices for the Byard expansion of Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District. At that time, it was requested that the area that we had proposed be reduced to include only the known projects of the Woodlands and the Estuary. This is the Woodlands. This large section here is all owned by the Estuary. It also needed to maintain a contiguous path to the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District. The map that you see before you reflects that revised annexation area, as well as a description in the resolution. There was not an off-site public hearing held on January 17th as previously proposed, with the reduction in area to only the two projects. It was decided that public hearing could be held in council today. The notices and the advertisements were corrected to reflect this. The area was posted on January 14th, 2008, and the developers will be subject to total system connection charges of $3,235 per EDU based on July 1st, 2007, June 30, 2008 rates.
Is there any member of the public who is present who would like to be heard concerning this proposal?
Come on down, man, please.
When you arrive at the podium, if you would please state your name and your address before you make your statement.
Yes, hello. My name's Christina Criswell. I live in the community of Tanglewood, 35245 Wild Oak Drive, Frankfort, Delaware. I have been excluded, the community.
You just show us where you live, ma'am.
This right there.
That's you. Okay.
That's me.
Okay.
And
you're not in the area then, is that correct?
Yes. No, I am not in the area. And originally, through all the public hearings, I was led to believe that the they were supposed to include the local established community in their sewer district. And now they have rearranged it so that everything that's been established is being overlooked and not included. So I'm here with a request from the development of Tanglewood to be included in the proposed Byard expansion of the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District.
Now, are you speaking on behalf of yourself or more persons?
I have a list of, wasn't able to because I wasn't aware of this change till Thursday night. And so it's 13 lots and a few of the people don't live locally. It's undeveloped, but the ones that are, I do have a list of their signature and addresses.
Okay. And you're asking in behalf of yourself and those people to be included?
Yes, sir.
Could you provide Mr. Ashman with a copy of that so it can,
John, which is John right there.
We'll make that part of the record.
Thank you very much.
How many people do you have that are in favor out of the 13?
Five. And one of the people owns two lots, so I don't know if you want to include that six out of 13 lots.
50%. Mm-hmm. Almost. 45 point something. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Is there anyone else here who wishes? Yes, sir.
Name's Salvatore Grasso. I live in the Oak Acres area.
Could you point that out to us, sir?
On there,
if
yes,
you can
sir.
See it. If you have questions, John, point you in the right direction. Maybe.
This area, okay. Right in
that little pocket, right.
And
is that the whole development right there? Yes.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay.
And my situation is the same as the young lady that was up here previously to me. Okay. We were under the opinion we were included in the sewerage, and when the wave came out last week, we found out we wasn't included. So we would like to be included. That's speaking on behalf of myself, and for a fact, I do know other people that's not aware of this change is interested in it also.
Gotcha.
Okay, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Is there anyone else here from the public who would like to be heard? Mr. Ashman, possibly the council might have questions as to whether these two
You want to give us a scoop? You know the scoop. How about
was the area drawn bigger to start with and then cut
the area as we proposed was the entire Byard area, which was to include out to Old Mill Bridge Road and everything over to the state lands. When we proposed that to you, we were directed to reduce the size.
Was that
bringing the parcels?
Finley, I basically brought up that there was a lot of just undeveloped land, and we did this for the first time that I can recall without petitions and other things. It was just kind of a...
as it was originally drawn.
Right. And then we reduced it back to the original. We told him to come back. Now, I do agree with these other people that these are established places, and there's a big difference in my mind, hopefully the rest of the council, that established areas that have these that have had homes for many, many years should maybe be approached and see, if there's interest there. But these vacant fields, we were just encompassing much, much too much, and I think there was an agreement with the council that day to go back to just the estuary.
So what's our option to go ahead and vote on this today and then immediately go to those people and get them to ask if they want to come into the district? And
there could be some timing issues here.
Well, see, that's the other bad part, Dale. Those people are going to be held hostage to the big developer. Their timetable. Now, with the market the way it is, they still may not get sewer for 10 years. Who knows? Right, Gene?
How do you envision serving if we enlarge that area, if the council agreed to enlarge that area for these two developments?
We have the developer, which is putting in a lot of regional infrastructure, which will probably bypass a lot of these parcels. We will provide connection points for those developments at this time. If we affect the roadway in front of them or if we go past them.
So the county, unless we could work out a scenario where the developer would help with the cost of the collection lines within those developments, then We would be responsible for building that at some point.
Still, the issue is we're tied to this developer's schedule, correct?
Correct.
Well, to a degree.
To a degree, yes.
I do think it's we need to make use. We're asking them to put in large regional infrastructure that these two communities certainly can't afford. So as far as them putting in a large infrastructure, which would be the first thing that the developer would do, that needs to be done. But thereafter, once that infrastructure in, for example, if the developer is not moving forward as far as expanding his project to serve these smaller communities, we could come in with some small, just like Goff Village or Delaware Avenue Extended or some other project like that, and come up with, you know, a finance, Prince George's Acres, that would be another one, where we're doing some small projects in-house to serve existing communities. So, but we do need, I do think that regional infrastructure, you know, the large pump station in Forest Main, needs to be put in by the developer to make those smaller projects.
And with the agreements you've made with this developer, are there any timetables to when they have to do that?
I'm going to defer to Russ. Do we have anything in the escrow agreement with schedules being attached to that, Russ?
No.
That's the problem. But I mean, we can't afford to put it in.
I understand that.
Either.
But I think a lot of people get the assumption that when we create this, there's all of a sudden going to be sewer, you know, in an X amount of years, and it could go on indefinitely because we're not tying any of this stuff. But I know, but wait, the economy
I don't
is
think that's happened. But yeah, there's a chance. I'm not going to.
Well,
say
I know.
That
yeah. Well, okay. I
but
mean,
what's the harm? I guess that's the other thing. If you do include.
If they're having a trouble with their systems and they think this is a solution in the next couple of years, it's not gonna be.
It could, but it could.
Don't count.
It could. It's better. I still think it's better to include them with the chance that.
Oh, I'm not saying not include them, but I'm just. I think the weakness of the whole thing is there's no.
I guess Jim, I have to roll back to you. The two parcels that we were questioned on. Can we put them into district now?
What's your timing?
We probably have till next week, I believe. I think we've allowed 1 week for a deferment to revise our boundary.
But you'd put it back on for next week and determine whether these two communities want to be added.
Correct.
I mean, how would you determine if they all want to? I mean, that's the other thing.
Is the problem, is getting approval from a majority of the parcels in the development.
If they have a homeowners association, would be the first question we need to ask them. And if they have an HOA and we get a positive response back
from older communities, they may not, but they're not large.
Yeah. Right. I think the one lots or something.
The only way you're going to know is to defer it and let them try.
Yeah.
The other thing we do have a database where we could include them. Right, and then mail something to those people. Say you have now been included. If you do not, please attend such and such. I mean, is that a possibility?
Well, I think what we would try to do is get some correspondence, because again, there's not a million lots out there. We could send individual letters.
That's what I'm saying. Each individual property.
And you know, maybe you get some responses between now. And next. You can also see if there is a homeowners association.
Right.
I do want to raise one concern. We don't have any proposed costs for those communities. So
yes.
That's an unknown.
Right. They're agreeing to come in at an unknown cost would be the problem at this point in time.
Well, it's an unknown period. Everything's unknown.
But when it was advertised, we had to give them some idea, didn't we? I mean, when we did the boundaries or something like that, we just established the boundaries?
This is the boundaries through an annexation.
And then the next phase is dollars and cents, right?
Yeah.
We have to.
Well, why don't we see if we got a consensus to add those in? Or
let's see if we got anybody.
I mean, what we can say is, you know, these are costs that we've seen in other communities where referendums have been passed. And, you know, at least it gives them an idea. And, if the cost is excessive, I don't think you're going to direct us to move forward with the project. So
make a motion to
it. I mean, certainly we're not going to. We got a great track record. You guys got a great track record. So I don't foresee that as an issue.
You want a motion to defer?
Yep.
I make a motion we defer 1 week to give our staff, our engineering department, time to contact these two subdivisions to see if they want to come into the district.
Well, we're going to give them a week to be able to amend the district if we want.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. we don't want to come back and see it the same way. We want to see it.
They can find it in weeks.
You still got to get a positive. You got to get a 50% plus.
We'll see what kind of consensus we can build.
We'll come in next week.
The motion to include will leave the hearing record open in the meantime.
And leave the hearing record open in the meantime.
Second.
Moving to second that we defer action and also leave the record open until next week. Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Dukes.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed.
We would ask the folks that came and spoke to speak with these gentlemen before you leave.
John, your weather's a lot better than last time on that. Lawrence, I think we're finally here.
10 hours a week. These people.
Keith Corporation.
Good morning.
Morning, gentlemen. We have one item of old business this morning. It's the application conditional use number 1707. It's the application of the Keith Corporation to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a retail store and mini storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying being in Seaford 100, Sussex County. A parcel containing 9.47 acres, more or less, lying west of U.S. Route 13, 450 feet north of Route 46, also known as Elks Road. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on November 8th of 2007. Council held public hearing on November 27th of 2007. On January 24th of 2008, the Commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Gordy stated he would move that the Commission recommend approval of conditional use 1707 for the Keith Corporation for a retail store and mini storage based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the proposed use as a tractor supply company and mini storage will benefit the residents of the area and the agriculture operations in the area. Two, the site is designated as a growth area under the current Sussex County Land Use Plan update. The areas to the north, south, and east of the site are zoned and used commercially and include automotive sales, boat sales, retail, a trucking company, a lumber company, and other uses. Three, the proposed use will not adversely affect neighboring and adjacent properties. Four, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. One, the proposed retail and self-storage facility shall substantially conform with the preliminary site plan submitted with the application. Two, on-site water wells and wastewater systems shall comply with all county and DENREC requirements. Three, the applicant shall comply with all DLDOT requirements concerning the project. Four, stormwater management shall meet or exceed all county and state requirements. Five, security and parking lighting shall be screened with downward illumination to avoid shining on neighboring properties. Six, the self-storage facility shall be surrounded by a security fence and arrangements shall be made with the Seaford Fire Department to coordinate emergency access to the site. Seven, access to the self-storage facility by tenant shall be only between 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. and no outside storage, including vehicles and boats, shall be permitted at the self-storage facility. Eight, the landscape plan shall be submitted as part of the final site plan review, showing all buffers, including the existing buffer along the westerly property line. Nine, the applicant shall be allowed to erect signage as permitted in the CR1 zoning district of the county zoning code. 10, the areas to be used for outside storage or display associated with the retail facility shall be clearly designated on the final site plan. 11, the final site plan shall be subject to approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that this application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. Motion carried 5-0. That's all I have, gentlemen.
For the record, I was not here on November the 27th. However, I've listened to this on the county website archive in its entirety and am prepared to vote on it today.
Okay. Any other questions?
There are just a couple of things that I noted that were included in the developer's presentation as things that they were going to do that didn't make their way into the conditions. One of them was up in regard to number three. The developer was saying, and it would add to the end, where it says requested by DLDOT, and maintenance agreements will be established for the maintenance of the service road easement areas until the service road is constructed by DLDOT. the developer said that they would propose to do that so that area wouldn't just be not maintained if it took Delgado a long time to build it. The other thing,
if it ever takes place.
We won't live long enough to either, will they?
The other thing was in number four, the developer said that they were proposing to add that the stormwater management facility shall be fenced. Don't know if that's important or not, just wanted to point it out. Down in number nine, although the commission made a recommendation that addressed that the landscape plan would show the existing buffer along the western property line, the developer's presentation said that the existing tree buffer along the western property line shall remain as it is on both sides of the property line between this site and the adjacent subdivision. There's somewhat of a difference between saying the existing tree buffer will be kept there and saying it will be shown. And if you wanted to make sure that the existing tree buffer is not destroyed, you might want to consider that brief amendment.
It's actually a hedgerow.
Hedgerow, okay.
And by putting, if the state goes to the property line, there could be destruction of that hedgerow. And I think that's the reason the commission asked for a landscape plan.
Okay. Then number 11, although number 7 had hours of operation for the self-storage facility, it did not for the retail facility. And the developer's presentation said hours of operation for the retail facility shall be 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Sunday, if you want to consider that. Another thing that was part of the presentation that you might want to consider was that there would be no outside storage permitted in the self-storage facility, right, but outside storage for the retail facility shall be subject to site plan review, because they wanted to be able to have certain tractors and things out front.
That pretty well falls under number 10.
Okay.
That's cool.
And the other thing was whether you wanted anything in there about signage complying with county code requirements.
That's number 9.
Number 9.
Okay.
They referenced CR1. That's the same as commercial. Okay. Thereby, they could have up to 150 square foot signage on two sides.
Right.
One sign for the site, unless they divide the site, and then there would be two signs.
Okay, so Lawrence says that they have addressed everything except having maintenance agreements for those service road areas until such time as a service road's built. Number 4, adding that the stormwater management facility shall be fenced. And number 11, adding the hours of operation for the retail facility. I wrote him back. 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Sunday.
Is there any concerns? I just don't want them to get stuck with Delgado, because it might be a lifetime before they.
Well, that was their proposal, the developer proposal.
Yeah, they're not stuck. They're just.
They just wanted to make sure the land area would be maintained.
And left available for that easement if it ever needs it. Dinner and a night of slots. Can't put a building there.
Is that, I guess my question, Lawrence, would be, is that part of the application should comply with all Delgado requirements and the project concerns?
No, developer's saying will maintain it till DelDOT builds something on it.
Ooh.
And the question is, do you want to put that as a condition so that the developer does maintain it?
Well, if he's already said it, I don't see what it hurt to put it in there.
Okay. You want to add that as number 11? Or
it'd be number 3.
12, I mean.
Number 3.
You put it on number 3, you add it on the end, and maintenance agreements will be established for the maintenance of the service road easement areas until the service road is constructed by DelDOT.
Calls on that.
Yeah. Is there any other concerns that you want to add the hours for the retail store, or do you feel that the storage areas would be the only concern?
Sure. I can't imagine a retail store being open 6 in the morning to 11 at night.
No.
The boat is.
That's what they propose.
They said 6 a.m. to 11 p.m.
Monday through Saturday and 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Sunday.
Sound like a bait and tackle to me.
Well, Lawrence, do we normally, on this is fairly, looks like a fairly decent large business that, do we normally put hours on?
On a conditional use, a lot of the cases you put hours.
Yeah, I know. In this case, we normally
do. That's probably their standard store hours.
Yeah.
Right.
That way you're limiting to those numbers they offered.
Right. At least you got some kind of control if they get real crazy.
Or it becomes another use.
Yeah. Okay. Gentlemen, Mr. Dukes?
All right, I can see it.
Just leave it like it is.
I see the tractor. I mean, no, set no hours on them.
No, I mean, it's got the hours, isn't it?
They proposed
their hours only on their self-storage.
They proposed hours for both.
Not in here, though.
But the commission didn't include the hours for the retail.
Right. It's only for the self-storage.
Correct.
So I was saying that you may want to address that.
Is the retail, though, in this conditional use, is it just anything retail, or is it a tractor sale?
Tractor supply store.
So it can't be anything other than tractor
Unless
supply.
Unless they come back in.
Tractor supply is the name of a, that's the name of Help Advance. It's the name of the company, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's a tenant.
I mean, they sell stuff other than tractors.
There aren't any nightclubs named Tractor Supply.
They sell pet supplies and farm equipment supplies.
They sell stuff, just
on wars type.
Yeah, I know. I just leave it as is.
Okay, that's cool.
I mean, I don't think a tractor supply is going to be a...
Okay.
I think that's it.
Late night parties.
Let's do it.
Would you like...
Yeah, the one on stormwater management, Jim mentioned being a fence.
And add to four, and the stormwater management facility shall be fenced. That's what they said in their presentation.
My personal opinion is it's kind of ugly looking.
Well, let site plan approval deal with that. They could put a fence around it.
Probably has to do with insurance liability.
Oh, yeah.
Probably. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
They can put a fence around if they want to.
Right.
Beat it. Let's go.
Okay. Any other question? Jim, would you like to read it? Please.
So we amended three.
Yes.
Number three.
Absolutely. Yeah. After all,
the ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in AR1 agricultural residential district for a retail store and many storage to be located in a certain parcel of land lying and being in Seaford 100, Sussex County, containing 9.47 acres, more or less.
I make a motion.
With the amendment.
Second.
I move to second that we approve CU 1707 with number three being amended.
3, 4, and 11.
Beg pardon?
Just 3 and 4. Was it, Lawrence?
Just three.
Just three.
Okay.
Just three. Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes. Route 13 is a mixed use of commercial, retail, and residential, so this fits in with the development trends that have been occurring there, and it also permits an easement for a service road in the future. Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Based on the record and recommendation of planning and zoning, I vote yes.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
My vote is yes also with planning. So.
I should say with the 11 conditions.
Yeah.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Lawrence. Mike, I guess you know we scratched it. You only got one deal now.
Mm-hmm.
Were you listening? Yeah, okay.
This will be pretty quick. It actually relates to something that Mr. Phillips brought up a few minutes ago. It's in regards to a proposed contract amendment with Stearns and Wheeler, and it regards the performance of hydrogeologic work to re-rate our existing spray fields at the Piney Neck Regional Wastewater Facility. As you know, we've been performing a planning area study for the Dagsboro-Frankford planning area, which included an analysis of the existing Piney Neck Regional Wastewater Facility. And in the performance of that review, we have determined that the plant has always been permitted for 200,000 gallons per day as far as treatment, but 250,000 gallons per day as far as its ability to dispose of wastewater. In performing our analysis, we've determined that hydraulically, the plant could actually handle about 325,000 gallons per day for treatment. And in reality, disposal capacity could go as high as 577,000 gallons per day. And that's basically on our existing sites, what we already are spraying on. I don't think that the numbers are actually going to be as high as 577,000, but I think it's going to be much higher than 250. But for us to go through the permitting process with DENRAC, we have to perform a series of hydrogeologic studies, install wells, monitor the wells, write reports, things of that nature.
Are you going to be spraying on more area than we spray on?
A little bit more. We have an existing lease with Eddie Davidson, and he's asking us, you know, if we would be interested in extending to a slightly larger area of his property. So we'll be bringing in a renegotiated lease sometime in the next few months. So since that's in play, we're actually going to increase our hydrogeologic studies to take a look at that area. And the cost of all this work is $263,254, but it's a lot of bang for our buck as far as re-rating the plant to a higher capacity, which answers your question. Yeah, we do have significantly more capacity to treat any in-town extensions in the Dyesboro-Frankfort area. So if there are any questions, I have a motion that I can read.
Please, Mike.
Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the County Engineering Department, that amendment number one to the agreement with Stearns & Wheeler LLC for the Dyesboro-Frankfort playing area be approved to perform hydrogeologic studies at the Piney Neck Regional Wastewater Facility.
Motion, Joe.
So moved.
Second, please.
Second. Second.
We move to second and we approve the contract agreement number one as stated by Mr. Izzo. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Don, you're back in.
Since September 2007, the Sussex County Engineering Department has received 63 executed petitions on the question of organizing a sanitary sewer district for Gulf Village. On January 30th, 2008, the Engineering Department conducted a public hearing on the proposed boundaries in Sussex County Council chambers. There were approximately 38 people in attendance representing 24 of the 54 parcels. Several items were discussed at this public hearing, including the proposed boundary, estimated user charges, the billing process, how the referendum works, how absentee ballots work, and the agreement between the county and the city of Georgetown. You've been given copies of the handouts that were presented on the 30th, and the only comments on the boundaries received were from an attorney pointing out some typographical errors in our legal description. Those errors have been reviewed and addressed on the resolution. And other than those comments on the typos, no other comments were received on the proposed boundary.
I got a question. Where is the city limits of Georgetown in relationship to this now? I know they provide sewer service next door to this parcel, yeah. Right?
They do serve Fairway Oaks and the Woods at Walls Creek at this point.
Okay, are they in?
But those two developments are outside the town.
They are outside the
They're
town.
They're out of town users?
Correct.
And why isn't, I don't know if I remember the answer, if there was an answer. Why is, why are they coming to the county and not to Georgetown? Did Georgetown reject it? Or is it because it's cheaper with us? Or I mean,
they've got enough people to actually, ask us to do it.
Yeah.
There's a couple reasons.
Well, I know.
They asked, first off, they're not in the town.
Right.
And obviously, there would be a large administrative effort for the town to bring this into the to put the sewer in and oversee the installation of the sewer and all of that. Also, the town said they're not interested in taking on any additional debt for people that are outside of their town limits. So they've asked the county to go ahead and finance the construction of it. That's basically what we're planning to do, to build the system,
they
finance
still end up
it,
taking,
and then the town's going to take over.
They still end up taking it anyway. I just hate to see our engineering department with as much work as we have to do, to have to deal with little issues like this, little subdivisions.
The town's requested us to do it.
Right. Passing the buck, right?
Come on. Yeah. Well, it's not in the town, so I mean, they're not obligated.
I know, but they've established a pattern of already servicing outlying areas, and I think it would be more efficient and everything else, and keep it all marked off.
Under state law, it requires that if a certain number of
I understand that,
and they've got the people,
but we can still they've got the petition. But Jim, they can make a petition. We don't have to say
last week.
Yes, right.
Well, Frank, I think you remember, I suppose you could say no, but...
Right, thank you.
At the time, at the original presentation, Mr. Archer told us that they have a certain amount of money that's been put up by the legislature or someone for this project.
Yeah, we have a number of funding sources already in place that one of the homeowners...
I understand all that's good. That's well and good. I'm just wondering if you guys need little projects like this.
No,
With all you got to do.
Keep some rock trouble.
I guess, but
I don't know.
But I guess you have to look at if it's a lot of work for a...
Wait a minute,
county.
I'm asking a guy who just retired. Why am I doing this? Michael,
if it's a lot of work...
Of course it doesn't bother him.
If it's a lot of work...
Only 3 days a week he works.
A county that has a dedicated engineering department, you can imagine what it is for a small town to take on a project.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a lot of work for a small
town. Right, but they've done it. I'm just saying, it's not like they're inventing the wheel. They've already done it. So,
Keep
the engineering, everything was done, isn't it? They've got all the engineering.
They
all
had
stuff
it.
Done.
We're going to have to tweak it a little bit to our standards and to, we think, make some improvements, maybe save some costs. But, yes, for the most part, it is done. The funding is in place. So it's way ahead of what we normally see at this point. Anybody else?
Just roll with it.
Well, we have a resolution to adopt the boundaries, if Mr. Griffin would like to
Any
read
questions?
The
question. Please read it.
No questions asked. Roll with it.
Like me to read, or would you like?
Sorry.
That doesn't matter. Either way.
Go ahead.
This is proposed resolution R concerning the district boundaries for the proposed Golf Village Sanitary Sewer District. By approving this resolution, you would be defining by legal description the boundaries of this district to be as depicted on the easel before you. And reciting that petitions were received from 50 or more legal voters, public hearing has been held. But the area shown on Exhibit A, which is what's on the map, is hereby established as a boundary for the proposed Golf Village Sanitary Sewer District, and it gives the entire legal description, which I will not read. Be it further resolved that the resolution takes effect immediately on its adoption by a majority of members of County Council.
Mr. Gentlemen.
So moved. Second.
Excuse me. It's been moved to second that we approve the resolution as read. Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Dukes.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed. Thanks.
I would like to add that there will be a referendum on this subject on May the 1st, 2000. Location to be determined.
That's cool. Thanks, John. Grant request, Susan.
Just one today. Sussex Central High School football boosters.
I'd like to move that Councilman Jones, Councilman Phillips give $100 each from their youth activity fund.
Second.
You can't use youth activity for schools, Councilman.
Discretionary Councilman. Yeah.
You guys don't Thank like football?
You. You guys aren't football fans?
You
want
to give some?
No. You want to give some? Or you just want to be mad?
Okay. I was just curious if you don't like football.
I just didn't understand. Okay.
Watch Super Bowl?
Yeah, that's cool. All right. It's moved second. We allot $100 for myself, $100 for Mr. Phillips. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed. Introduction to ordinance, Jim?
We don't have any.
That's a good thing. Additional business? Oh, we got, yes, sir. Please.
Hello, Council. My name is Vincent Odo. Mm-hmm. I had spoke with Mr. Phillips on the telephone last Tuesday. And he suggested that I plead my case, if you will, to the council. What I had proposed to do, and I'll pass this around here where I can hold it up, is get a variance for this property. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Curly Drive, Brandy 100, Leroy West's old property. And, I mean,
down near Dressing Pond.
No, I'm out by Press English's place.
Oh, Lowe's Crossroads.
Okay, one from Press English.
Okay.
What we asked was a variance I have two teenage sons. We would like someday to have the kids. I have a 20-year-old son who needs a place to live now. I had, when I approached planning and zoning about doing this, I was told this was a very easy thing, not going to be a problem. I proceeded with, and here's some more pictures, putting in the driveway.
Okay.
The roadway that they asked, there's pictures here that you're all welcome to look at. There is a chicken house out the front door where this proposed house is, where the Joneses live now. It's 200 yards out. 500 yards on the side, chicken houses. Doesn't bother me, doesn't bother the kids. We're not hurting anybody by this variance.
How many lots is it again, sir?
We would like to have two more. Honestly, guys, I'll take one. We'll worry about it later.
And what did they tell you no for? Why was it?
What I heard was it wasn't enough of a hardship.
Hardship?
Hardship.
You're coming in asking for a hardship.
No, I'm asking for a break because this is what I don't understand. I'm trying to develop some economic growth in the community. There's more taxes to be paid. Kids, you're going to have kids going to school. It's a wonderful thing. I cannot understand why my son has got to be a drug addict or my mother's got to be disabled for us to get a break.
Well, you didn't ask for a hardship. You just asked for a subdivision.
A variance.
Right, how many acres you got there?
There's seven plus.
But what I'm trying to find out, it's a shame somebody's not here to tell us why you were rejected. You're not in compliance with county ordinance. And the
that's plan correct. I don't have 300 feet across the front. I'm sorry. That's
what we're trying to find
yes,
out.
Yes, I'm 30 feet short.
Well, you got to have 150 per lot.
Per lot, that's correct. I have 270.
I guess,
sir, when was the decision rendered by the board?
Monday.
I guess here is you don't have 300 feet.
You may already know this, but under state law, you have 30 days in which you could appeal, and the appeal's not to this body, it's to the Superior Court.
That's correct. The reason why I came to this court, do you realize, or this court, this hearing, do you realize the expense? I've already put a $7,000 road in. I've perked. I've seeded. I'm just a little guy here looking for some help.
We have no authority to grant you help. It's only the Superior Court where an appeal is the only place an appeal can be filed.
No, I think the
Board of Adjustment is a judiciary body. We're a legislative body. Their decision is final under law.
I guess the reason I wanted him to come is to put a face on this issue. Right. What we have is a county code which is a bit restrictive in cases like this.
I just didn't want him to think that time would be running and he was waiting for us to do something.
No, he has been very patient throughout this process. He spent a tremendous amount of money and effort on this. And to me, it seems like we need to take a close look at our ordinances that dictate the way a person, a landowner, can subdivide property for family members.
For family members, we can't dictate that this will stay within family members. That's the trouble, Vance.
We can dictate hardships, and when hardships.
Well, this doesn't fall under. I agree. This is not a hardship.
No, you're saying we can't dictate. We can dictate a hardship, and when the hardship no longer exists, well, then the county can take action.
What do we do once it's been approved?
Shane, if a hardship no longer exists, what happens?
Not once you
new lots. I've actually talked to this gentleman a few times about this.
All he's asking for is a variance from 30 feet for a width lot of the front lot.
Right.
And that's not our decision.
That would really only get him two lots.
That's fine.
That gets him a little closer. But my point is, you got 7 acres of land there, more than enough to handle setbacks. It's such a waste of.
It's been perked. It's all done. The expense that I went to just because.
Let's Shane. Could you? Is there other issues?
Is strip lot, Shane? Is strip lot, or I mean, I looked at the print, but it's gone by the wayside.
Could he do a major subdivision?
Yep.
Yeah.
It went through the commission back in October.
Well, this is not. Where's road frontage? Is this all the road frontage has right here?
That's it.
Yes,
that's
sir.
The road frontage.
It went back to the. We took it to the commission in October, November, December.
Create a 50-foot right-of-way for lots.
No, that's not correct. What I told Lawrence was any lots they'll give me.
Okay.
Any lots.
You have to apply for some. I mean, you got to put make some presentation. It can't be anything.
That's
I mean,
the commission saw.
Okay.
The commission saw that plan, which was four lots, which ultimately makes it a major subdivision.
Right. Under, they still do the policy of allowing you to create a 50-foot right-of-way with three lots.
So what he ought to do is reapply for something lesser than that.
Do that with three lots. That's if that's the answer and that gets me done.
Who would that go to?
Back to them again.
P&Z.
Three lots and the 50-foot right-of-way could go back to the commission. Four lots. You got to build a road to county specs.
Council,
it's got to be a CO. Right? Is that the issue? What is the issue, I guess?
And I guess you're perplexed because somebody didn't maybe mention
I said, give me my options. If I can't have four, if three's okay, I'll take that. We'll take an ink pen, mark through it. Let's keep it simple.
Shane,
and with three,
can I ask you a question? This is a road, right? It's two. Is that, am I reading this right, 270 feet? Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Am I doing that right, or is it 280?
270 feet of road frontage.
Road frontage, and then you take the 50 feet for easement?
50 out, and you're creating a 50-foot right-of-way.
Okay.
That's fine.
But under the commission's...
You just got too many lots for that.
Under the commission's so-called policy of being able to create the three lots, if there's not like a farm lane, an existing driveway, or a dirt road or anything there, that's when they say, no, it's got to go to public hearing because you're actually creating that.
Okay, so they didn't do it. So he's got to go to public hearing now.
But that road is there.
The commission denied that because it was four. That's showing four lots.
Too many lots.
Okay, I understand. Dismiss her. Okay, thank you. Yeah, because of the unapproved road. Is that correct?
It would at a minimum, it would have to be crusher run.
Right.
Could he
four lots, right? Right.
Could he have amended his application and gone back to the commission for two lots?
Sure.
Or three.
But
he'd go up to three.
Instead of doing that, he went to try to get a variance.
With the board, I guess, yeah.
Okay. So do you understand where you are?
No.
Go back and ask for three. You'll be all right.
If you go back, this gentleman right here, okay, and say ask for three.
Take that back to your surveyor and have it.
Not sure you're going to get it.
You got
to
take this one off.
You can legally ask for three.
No more than three.
Combine that. Let me get a pen and make some notes, guys. I don't want to take up any more of your time.
But you talk to Shane.
Yeah.
Shane will guide me through this.
All right.
This is fun.
Okay.
I think, wait a minute, this is yours.
Up to the commission. You understand that?
Hang on a minute.
And you understand that
Shane, I got one of yours.
3 days pass, you can't then appeal this thing that's turned down.
Right. I don't think I can actually start the appeal for another 2 weeks because they haven't got the final decision in the minutes. The appeal is 30 days once the finding of facts have been
signed. And once you get the decision, there's a procedure to ask for re-argument, but it's a very limited, small time period, like 5 days. So
okay.
You need to be aware of what your legal redress is.
Pay attention.
If you want to.
Thank you. Basically, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get with Shane if you have time.
Yes.
And he knows. Do you know how to get to where I need to go? There we go.
Shane's a man.
Benjamin is out of bed there.
You know, it was well worth the time spent.
He's been for 20 years.
Absolutely.
If he can.
No problem.
To come in and speak with y'all because now I got what I needed. Okay, the process is going to move forward. I'm going to get where I need to go.
You could have gone back.
You got to go back to them, and they'll give you the final answer.
I could have told you that on the phone.
Oh, don't call Vance. guy called me back 9 o'clock at night. It was great. Appreciate it.
There you go. All right. Thanks, Shane.
Was it that taped message you had?
Hey, come on down.
You probably thought it was in the Vance.
I don't know.
That's the other one on that green shirt.
My name is Dan Kramer. I'm going to tell you what, you guys are a bunch of wimps if I ever met anybody.
Thank you.
Because you actually voted the right way.
Thank you.
And I'm going to tell you something. First of all, the guy brought this stupid thing down here and showed you a bunch of crock that doesn't even pertain to the ordinance we gave you.
What? Croc, are you talking about?
That picture the guy showed you from the resource.
Just listen, please.
Water thing. Because, first of all, in the ordinance that we gave you guys, You can't build in the 100-foot diameter, or no, 100-foot radius, but he showed it was being built in a 100-foot radius. You can't build in a 100-foot radius in this ordinance. You guys don't read the ordinances? No, you just pass it. Now, what I want to know then, what happens if the committee comes back and sends it back just like it's written?
It'll be a committee report, and right. Council will take it into consideration.
All right.
I don't think council's going to guarantee you what they're
going to I understand to that. I'm not concerned about that.
We're pretty unpredictable, Dan.
I know. We are, too. But then, can we change anything in there that we want to change in the ordinance, in the entire package, or do we just have to work on this crap all that stupid DENREC wants?
I think the committee can do whatever they want to do. They can recommend it back to us.
I asked you a question. I said, can we change anything?
Dan, do whatever you want.
May I answer that? In order to move forward and advertise this, an ordinance will be prepared. If your committee feels that it has a comment about that ordinance, that it should or should not be adopted or should be different, the public hearing would be the time to do that.
So, all right.
But we
in other words,
we can't wait until after the committee hearing.
We can make it less, but
before
we can't
draft
make it.
This ordinance.
I understand what you're saying. In order,
I'm telling you.
In other words, you're going to change the ordinance written to what DENREC idiots want.
Can you bring us up
before you bring it to the committee? And then we're going to look at it.
Right.
Not only to include what DENREC has asked for, but some other housekeeping change.
Well, it's like this. Don't waste our time.
Okay.
Period.
We can take it out because it will be lessened.
Well, they were given an opportunity.
Take anything out.
Can you?
That's right.
They first of all, you dumb bunnies, you should have passed it the way it was. But no, your gutless turkeys don't want. Oh, DENREC. Man, we got to do what DENREC wants. Hey, first of all, DENREC has no say in the matter. You guys do, but you gutless turkeys don't want to take them on.
Okay, he's getting inappropriate. I think it's
bull cookies. And furthermore, as far as now, I'm going to change the subject.
Okay.
Last week you had a public hearing, 8-10 hours of public hearing.
Absolutely.
Right. And then you had these whiny idiots coming in here that already owned their houses, and they got every detail they want. But oh no, we can't have this new development in here because it might make Lewis look a little bad. Bull cookies. I'm going to tell you something. You ought to pass that sucker and tell them guys to go out in the river like DENREC and get drowned. Thank you.
You think we ought to increase the density?
Yes.
Thank you.
Anything else from the public?
Should have stayed around for the public hearing, sir.
All right. Gentlemen, we have executive session.
No, I'm hungry.
And we need... The motion needs to include the reason.
Yep. Motion, gentlemen.
Go ahead and talk about the motion. We go into executive session to discuss land acquisition.
Talk about
that later. All right.
Second.
I don't
know. You going to say it?
Second.
Thank you.
Let's go.
Move to second, then we go to executive session for land acquisition. Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Dukes.
Yes.
Mr. Ryder.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
I changed mine. I might want to get married. Can you do it?